Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Driver Distraction Department here at Car Talk Plaza. And what kind of distraction are we talking about, pray tell?
Okay, here it is. A mouse was blamed for a two-car accident in southern Germany after having crawled up a motorist's trousers. As the rodent squirmed up his inside thigh, the driver slammed on the brakes, causing a rear-end collision with a car driven by a female motorist behind him. When the woman got out to give him a piece of her mind, the man reached in his pants and hauled out the wriggling mouse, according to a police spokesperson. Now, that reminded me of the day I was driving down Massachusetts Avenue. I was right in Porter Square.
Yes.
And I was driving my 74 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible.
Really?
And it was a magnificent day.
Don't tell me. It wasn't a mouse that ran up your pants.
It wasn't a mouse.
A raccoon?
Those were the days when I was evil. I used to smoke cigarettes, of all things.
Really?
So there I was, smoking a cigarette, and there's a red light. So I stopped right next to a bus. And in the bus, there are 100 people. And I reach up to take the cigarette out of my mouth, and somehow I drop it, and it falls onto the seat right between my legs.
And, of course, you're worried about burning the precious
seat cover material. The precious pants and all the other precious stuff. So, of course, immediately I start reaching for it to find it.
Who wouldn't?
And you can imagine what it looks like. There I am, groveling around in my own crotch. And I look up, and there's 20 people in the bus looking out at me.
And you were immediately arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's
I gave up smoking right after that.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your car or mice, for that matter, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Wait.
Who is this?
No, I was waiting.
Oh, all right. That's the rules. Okay. This is D. Kimball calling from Freeport, Maine.
D-E-E?
D-E-E.
From Freeport.
Home of L.L. Bean, right?
Exactly.
And probably not much else, huh?
No, nothing's free, and we don't have a port. But...
Oh.
So what's up, D?
Well, I've got a 1988 four-wheel drive Nissan truck. And it does the Christmas caroling dog thing. When I drive down the road, when the hubs are locked, it goes, ruh, 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 ruh.
I like it.
Actually, when it's cold, it gets more roots to the minute than when it's warm.
But when it's cold?
Right.
And does it eventually go away as you can, if you get it up
no,
to?
No. And I've tried a few things. The first thing is I took it to L.L. Bean's and said that I bought it there, and they would not return it. It wasn't in their catalog.
Okay.
Then I tried throwing $100 bills at it,
and that didn't work.
That didn't work. Actually, if I unlock the hubs, it stops. So that's one clue.
Yeah, it's a big clue.
The last thing I did was I drove it at a high speed into the side of another car.
This was all in the spirit of experimentation.
Oh, absolutely. And that actually helped for a while. But now it's back. And, it's curious. During Christmas, it's fine. I get a chuckle out of it. But
make the noise
anymore.
Again. I kind of like that. Well, how does it go?
Ruh, 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 ruh,
you
ruh.
Got it down. Right. That's perfect. Ruh, 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 ruh. So driving into the side of the other vehicle, what kind of a vehicle did you drive into the side of?
It was an old Chevette, I think. It was a mix of cars.
Yeah.
And it actually, it did. It made a difference. But
it really did improve it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
for
I
how long?
It improved it probably for 10 days. You know, once I paid the bill to get it fixed,
yeah.
All of a sudden it decided, well, hey, spending money, you might as well spend more, and start it up with the noise again.
Well, I mean, if you had anyone take apart the hubs to grease them and...
Yeah, and I have a mechanic. They've been good to me so far, you know, the last few years. And
What do they give you? They give you like a pound cake on Christmas? Or
yeah,
they...
a fruit cake, and I use it as a spare tire.
And they've heard the noise, obviously.
Well, it's pretty funny because all the mechanics run along next to it when I drive.
Yeah.
So we run up and down the parking lot with guys chasing along with their head down listening, and they thought it was a CV joint. Replaced the CV joint. Everybody was really happy about it. I thought, great, it's solved. I drove about 10 miles, and it started again.
Oh, so you had 10 carefree miles.
And it was great.
You know what we call that in the business? The perfect repair.
Yeah. And I got far enough away from them.
So they can close before you can get back.
That's it. You got it.
But unlocking the hubs, making the noise go away, that's evidence that you can't... I mean,
yeah.
First of all, forget that.
It isn't the wheel bearing, because the wheel bearing is in play whether you're in two-wheel drive or four-wheel
drive.
Right. It isn't the CV
joint. The CV joint.
Well, no, the CV joint is freewheeling.
Uh-huh.
When you're in the unlocked position.
Okay.
So I could imagine it being the CV joint, except I've never heard a CV joint make that noise, so
and if that's it, I mean, people, when I describe it to people and they hear it,
kind of like distressed ducks, right?
That is it. And my dog even perks up her ears. Like,
somebody she knows.
Yeah.
Well, how many CV joints did they replace?
They replaced one. What they did was they unlocked one hub. They isolated the noise, apparently.
Yes, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How about trying that?
And took it out, said it was really a mess.
So they narrowed it down to, like, the right side, for
example.
Yeah,
the left side, but you've
left
got
side.
The right idea.
Yeah.
Then, you know, locking up the other hub, unlocking, you don't hear the noise. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. And
right.
I suppose I could replace the other one, but, you know, then I'm looking at, you know, hundreds more on a truck that I like it. But I don't
want
to send it to college or anything.
I think you have to spring for the other, because if they've already greased up the hubs, then what else can it be?
You know, if I knew that, I probably wouldn't call you.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anything else it could be.
All right.
But I think these guys are probably on the right track, although my instinct would be that it's the locking hubs. But I assume that they've eliminated that, but I still don't believe it.
You never know. You never know. I'll have them take a look at that also.
Have them take another look.
All right.
Good luck, D.
Thanks a lot.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Allison, and I'm calling from Reno, Nevada.
Allison?
Allison from Reno.
Yes.
Wait a minute, Allison. There are so many ways to spell
Allison.
Well,
I spell it with one A,
yes.
Two L's, one I, one S, and an O-N.
And I spell the same way you do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's the traditional spelling.
Is it? Well,
yeah, not like these A-A-A-L-L-I-C-Y-N-N-E.
Wait, where'd you say you were from?
Reno, Nevada.
Reno. You sound young.
Well, I am 26.
Are you really?
Yes. Do
really?
I sound younger?
You sound 16.
Do. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's
I
good.
I look 16.
That's great. Yeah, so what do you do in Reno?
I am studying public policy.
So you're a graduate student, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
Public policy.
Uh-huh.
Of course, if this doesn't pan out, you can get a job as a dealer. How are your blackjack skills?
Yeah, that's right. The dealer school is right down the street.
All right.
All
so
right.
Thanks for calling,
that's great.
Allison.
All right. You have a problem with a car?
Yes, I do. I have a Jeep Cherokee Sport. And a little over a year after I bought it, the red number 10 fuse blew, and that's the one that controls the radio, the power windows, and the door locks.
Mm.
Then 6 months later, it blew again. So I replaced it. 2 days after that, it blew again. And that was about 4 days ago.
Ah, yeah, something's wrong.
Mm.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I mean, there are lots of schools of thought concerning fuses. It's a 10 amp.
Uh-huh.
You could go to 20. You might find out where that short is. I suspect there's something else on that circuit. Even though it says radio, windows, and door locks, I suspect there's something else.
Why do you need anything else? I mean, you got two prime candidates here.
Well,
two out of the three.
It ain't the radio.
It's not the radio, but the power windows and the door locks are notorious for causing problems.
Well, but Allison cannot associate it with using the window. In other words, if you were putting up or down a window and it blew midstream, you'd say, ha!
Right.
But that doesn't happen.
How do you know that it has blown?
Because the windows won't go down.
No idea.
Well, when does it go? When does it blow?
I don't realize it until I turn the car on and the radio doesn't work and the door locks don't work.
Right.
I have one of those automatic door unlockers on my keychain.
That's the last thing you used, isn't it?
Yeah. And the first thing I used before I get in the car.
And the first thing you used to get in the car.
So you can get into the car.
So we know that the moment before you start the car, the thing is working, and the only other thing you've used is the door locks.
Right.
That's it.
No, the door locks worked. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been able to get into the car. She opens the thing.
And in the process of working, they blew the fuse. That's the last time they worked.
I don't think so.
You press the little button, the door opens, you get in the car, and the things don't work anymore.
Right.
Is that true, Allison?
Yes.
All right, so now what? Now that you yelled at her for 10 minutes, what is she going to do about it?
I don't know. Don't lock the car.
Well, you probably do have a short somewhere, and it could easily be a pinched wire. You know, the wires that come into the door come in where the pillar is, where the hinges for the door are attached.
Right.
And those wires get flexed. Usually a car has to be much older before it has this affliction. Because in order to have those wires break and short out, you must open the door a couple of million times.
There is nothing wrong with the Chrysler car. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to take it to whoever you take it to and tell him or her that you're pretty sure there's a short somewhere in the door locks.
Okay.
In the meantime, stock up on those red number 10s.
I will.
See you, Allison.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good luck in your degree. Pursuits.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
See you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Nathaniel from Tacoma, Washington.
Took you a while to figure out who you were, eh?
Yeah, I did.
Trying to make up a phony name that sounded convincing.
This is Robert Redford and... yeah, how are you, Nat?
Hey, I'm doing very well, sir.
May I call you Nat?
You may call me Nat. You're one of the first people who's ever gotten it right in the first try.
Oh, as opposed to Nate.
Right, exactly.
So what's up, man?
Well, I tell you, I just got myself a Saab, a Saab 900,
God.
I just drove it up from Colorado. You see, my mom gave it to me.
Really?
And I went to my future mother-in-law's house the first thing to show it off to her.
Of course.
And all my in-laws were there, and
Future in-laws.
Oh, my future in-laws, that's right.
Yeah.
We opened up the doors, we looked at the car, and it started rolling down the hill in front of my in-law's house. The emergency brake was set, and I was running as fast as I could after this car down the hill, and it was just laughing. And it was just terrible. So I jumped in the car and stopped it in the intersection and turned it on and got it back up the hill again. But what's really weird about this is that not 1 week earlier, I had had all the brakes looked at in Colorado and gotten new brakes put on the car.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So is this a manual transmission car?
Right, this is a manual transmission
car. And you were obviously in neutral.
Well, right.
Why were you in neutral?
Well, I can only think that maybe somebody might have jostled it out of gear.
Ah, one of those in-laws.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Future in-laws.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they didn't want to be future in-laws. Maybe they were trying to get rid of you.
Oh.
And you were obviously embarrassed by this.
Very, yes.
Very.
Well, I was embarrassed, and I was trying my best, and it was just sort of a moment of bursting into flame, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's very possible that whoever did the brake job did everything perfectly fine.
Okay.
And still, the handbrake wouldn't work.
Now, on this car, the handbrake is incorporated into the front calipers.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So that when you pull on the handbrake, you are pulling a lever which moves the front caliper pistons.
Okay.
And it's possible, and it happens from time to time, that either they screwed the pistons in too far when they put the new pads in,
all
which would make the handbrake lever pull all the way up. Did it pull all the way up?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, it's just like there's no play in it anymore.
Yeah, it pulls all the way up, but it doesn't hold the
car. And it doesn't even feel tight, even though you're pulling it way up to the top of its travel.
Well, it does sort of. It sort of does the job, but I need to put it in gear nowadays.
Well, I mean, you should put the car in gear anyway.
Okay.
Especially if it's a Saab, because even when they work well, they're lousy, these emergency brakes.
Yeah. Okay. It's very, very possible that being in gear will not be sufficient on a big hill, a steep hill, without the handbrake.
Okay.
So you need both. On a really steep hill, you may want to even chalk the wheels.
All right, okay.
I mean, you always turn the wheels in toward the curb, right?
Right, and away from the curb when I'm going uphill.
Yeah, good.
So I need to get out and get some chalks for my wheels.
Well, what you need to do is find out if the emergency brakes are working. You need to take it to a shop up there in Tacoma.
Oh, just turn on the... Pull on the brake and drive and see if it goes.
Well, he knows it goes because it already went even without the engine running.
Yeah.
So we know the emergency brake isn't working correctly. It's possible that they either screwed the pistons in too far or one of the emergency brake mechanisms is damaged and it may be working on only one wheel.
Okay.
They'll put it on the lift. They'll apply the handbrake. And they'll see if both of the wheels are locked up. If one of them isn't locked up, the caliper may need to be replaced.
Yeah. But you have to fix this. This is dangerous, Nat.
Okay, all right.
And to say nothing of the embarrassment...
Yeah.
I mean, jeez.
Here's my new... Oh, there it goes.
Hey, who did that? Well, Nathaniel, good luck.
Yeah, all righty.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Matt.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break.
Oh, yeah, because this is going to require thinking. And in order to think, I need what?
Another donut.
We'll be right back. Headlights on the highway. Strangers rushing. So I lean into my left rear view. Was there one who caught my eye? And I've been driving such a long time. I've been driving all my life.
And even though Mother's Day celebrants everywhere mumble, "Thank God those two aren't mine," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for the Car Talk podcast and the following message come from Valvoline Motor Oil. Did you know higher mileage engines need different motor oil? Well, Valvoline does because they test oil every day in their state-of-the-art engine lab in Ashland, Kentucky. Valvoline's high mileage motor oils with MaxLife technology are specifically formulated for high mileage engines and have thick anti-wear film to help protect metal surfaces and extend engine life. Visit Valvoline.com/CarTalk to find out what product is right for your engine.
Every day you wake up to that long to-do list. Well, Up First gives you the latest news in about 10 minutes, so you feel all caught up in the world while catching up on your life. And hey, don't forget to walk the dog. Listen to Up First every morning from NPR News.
All right, we're back. Oh.
Wait, what do you?
Animal
sure,
crackers.
You took the crackers away from me, so I wouldn't eat them. And now you're.
Well, I knew you
them
couldn't
all
be trusted not to eat them while we were on the air.
But we are on the air.
Oh. Anyway, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us. Clicking, these are good. Click and clack the Tapper Brothers, and here's the answer to last week's puzzler. Okay, you ready for this?
What?
Here's the prize for a '65 black AMC Ambassador convertible. What was last week's puzzler?
I've got it! I've got it! I'm going to win a car!
Time's up, sorry.
There was no puzzle last week.
Yeah, there was a puzzle last week. You just don't remember it.
I certainly don't.
The events in this puzzler took place long, long ago, before the advent of cars and planes. Let's say sometime roughly between the Stone Age and my brother's bar mitzvah. Okay. Yeah. Some engineers were contemplating...
It's only a year and a half.
...building a suspension bridge across a gorge. The gorge at Niagara Falls. You know what a gorge is, right?
I do. That's what I do at Thanksgiving.
So you got the river raging below, and you've got to get cables for this suspension bridge from one side to the other. But there's no way to get the cables across because there was no boat that could fight that current. I mean, a boat trying to go from... I mean, it was...
No. The
and
Maid
then,
of the
then
Mist.
They couldn't scale the vertical walls.
And the Maid of the Mist hadn't been invented yet.
They hadn't invented the Maid of the Mist.
No.
So they had to get the cables across somehow. And after the engineers and builders figured out how to do it, they staged a contest on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, open to the public. And the purpose of the contest was to help get these massive cables across the gorge. The contest was won by a young boy. And shortly after the contest was completed, they were able to run the cables from one side of the gorge to the other. The question very simply was, what's the kid's name? What was the contest?
I didn't get this one.
You didn't get it?
I didn't, no.
The contest,
I didn't understand.
Berman even got this
one. I didn't
one.
Understand the question, actually.
You didn't?
No.
You got to understand
I mean,
the answer?
I understand it now that you gave me the answer yesterday.
You don't like it?
No, I like it. Thought it was great.
The contest was a kite flying contest. The first kid to be able to get a kite, to land on the other side of the gorge, won. And what they did was they took that kite string and attached to it a rope, slightly heavier than the thing, and they pulled that across, and they attached successively stronger ropes until they finally had one strong enough to pull
the chain.
A cable across.
Exactly.
And then once they had one, they had another, and there you go.
Yeah. I think that's good. That's good.
I mean, like I said, it may be completely bogus as far as it being historically accurate, and it probably is.
Judging from most of the puzzles that you've used, it would be an amazing feat if it were not.
Yeah, it would be. And who's going to win our fabulous prize?
Well, our prize is won by a young boy. It's not a young boy. It's someone named Jane Oakes from Longboat Key, Florida. Longboat Key.
Cool name.
There's someone who's not working for a living. You know that.
No.
There's
someone in the surfboard business.
Absolutely, Jane. We know that. But anyway, we're going to send you, because we chose your answer from among the thousands of correct answers that we had, you are going to win a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk store on our website. And with that gift certificate, you go and pick out anything you want as long as it's on the cheap side. Yeah.
Boy, we're real big spenders. Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler, and it's coming up in the third half of today's show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. By the way, we know that not everyone can remember that 888-CAR-TALK, so I also want to mention that the number is 888-BASVAJL. Or
Basvagel.
Basvagel.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Terry from Bluebell, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Terry. Bluebell.
Did you say Terry or Carrie?
Terry. T-E-R-R-Y.
Terry.
Terry.
From Bluebell.
Bluebell.
Do you have any bluebells in Pennsylvania?
I think we have some in our yard, actually.
Yeah, they're little blue things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a few.
Yeah, shaped like a bell.
Yeah, you
got it.
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, Terry, what's on your mind today?
Well, I have a 1998 Mercury Sable wagon, and I have an intermittent problem. And my big concern is I just don't want my car to die on me. That's my goal. Mm.
Okay.
And the problem is, at times, my car, like, has this vibration in it and this grinding sound. Like, it happens in the front of the car, and it will actually cause, like, my brake pedal and my gas pedal to vibrate, and then I get this really loud grinding sound.
Really? And when, does this happen when you're stepping on the brake?
No, it can happen. I could be on the highway.
Yeah.
Here's an important question.
Okay.
Well, maybe. I'm beginning to, the theory is beginning to coalesce. You know when the planets cool?
Yeah.
You know, and they go from this
and
amorphous state.
You can see shapes.
See shapes.
You see little shapes, and then the shapes turn into stupid ideas.
There you go.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened when you are stopped at a traffic light,
yes.
i.e. not...
Ah! It has!
Ha-ha!
Yes.
Wowzee!
Well, I think I know what it is.
Oh, good.
Do you know?
Yes, and I think it's nothing... You haven't taken this into the Ford dealer?
I took it into the Ford dealer, and they said it's intermittent. We don't know what it is.
We don't do intermittent
We don't
stuff.
Do intermittent. Yeah. So we have to wait till right, your limbs are dragging on the on the highway.
You've got to do it every waking moment, otherwise don't waste that time.
Yes. Well, I think what you're hearing is the ABS pump cycling on and off. Your car has anti-lock brakes.
Yes.
And there's a pump that maintains pressure in the accumulator so that when you do deploy the brakes, there's enough pressure there to actuate the brakes as the car is slowing down and going through this lock-up, free-up thing with each wheel.
And the system is constantly checking to make sure that the pressure is high enough. And if it's not, the pump just kicks in any old time.
And it sounds like this.
Is that it?
Yeah,
it'll last about maybe 15, 20 seconds.
Even less sometimes.
Sometimes
less.
Or longer. It can last even longer. It can last like 20 or 30 or 40 seconds maybe.
Even if you're, like, not even stepping on the brake?
Yes.
It will just do it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't know. It doesn't care. It's just checking the internal pressure of the system.
Okay.
There could be a leak in the system, but there are some cars where there is nothing wrong with the system, and it runs for that duration, and it is that annoying. So you might suggest to the Ford dealer that that's what it is.
Okay, that sounds great.
Suggest to them that they change the pump.
Okay, great.
See you, Terry.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. Yes, this is Robert.
Yeah, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just got a generic question. I'm shopping for a new car and having a discussion with my brother about the difference between manual transmission and automatic. And I've always heard that manual transmission is easier to take care of, they're less expensive over the long haul, and that automatic's a lot more problems to deal with, especially if you have repair work 5 years down the line.
Well, we used to say that.
And that's exactly what my brother said. He said that used to be the case, and no longer. It doesn't matter anymore.
I'm beginning to think that that's true, except for a couple of rare circumstances where certain vehicles have had lots of automatic transmission problems.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of looking at the Corolla Civic kind.
Yeah, I mean, in my humble opinion, it's purely a matter of taste at the moment.
Well, where do you live?
I travel a lot. I live in Maryland.
And you're flat. So you're flat.
Well, you're often driving in stop and go traffic.
Well, I do a lot of interstate miles too.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a standard shift car.
Uh-huh.
Well, use the loosest definition of car,
car
imaginable.
Not
even four tires on it. It could be a skateboard. And it has a standard shift, and when I'm stuck in traffic with this car, I absolutely hate it. It drives me nuts.
Right.
And, you know, years ago, standard shift cars were more popular for a lot of reasons. Number one, they were more economical, they're cheaper to buy, et cetera. And I suppose it would be all right if you bought one 25 years ago because traffic wasn't as bad 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But nowadays, traffic is so bad everywhere that it's a pain in the butt, to say nothing of the fact that you wear out the clutch every time you move forward 5 feet.
Right.
That's a clutch killer.
Okay. Well, you're talking about traffic jams. Yeah, I see that.
So in an automatic, you can put the thing in drive. First of all, you get as good mileage with an automatic now as you do with a manual.
Yeah.
It costs you more to buy an automatic transmission car. Sometimes they charge you as much as $1,000 more.
Yeah, I'm looking at about $750. Right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we used to say was that it was cheaper to have a standard transmission, but I'm not so sure that's true anymore because many, many automatic transmissions will go for the life of the car without any repairs.
And almost no clutch will.
And no clutch will, exactly. So you're sure to be replacing a clutch somewhere. And you're not sure to be replacing the automatic transmission.
But when they do look at an automatic transmission, don't they have to sort of take out the whole thing?
Yeah.
Job?
Sure. No, I mean, if you do have trouble, it's far more expensive.
Yeah, that's why leasing is so good.
No.
I'm only kidding.
Buy it and run it for 10 years.
On a personal note, I mean, I have just recently moved from automatic transmission, my famous Dodge Dartra. Was an automatic push-button transmission,
yeah,
which I loved dearly. But I have recently purchased Fiat 2000
what?
Spider.
And you know what Fiat stands for, don't you?
You
finally, I'm almost there.
And the Fiat, of course, has a 5-speed stick, and the clutch is a killer. I mean, you could break a leg stepping on that clutch. And as my brother says, you haven't lived until you've been stuck in traffic in the Fiat. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. Because
you couldn't be just as in love with that car if it had an automatic?
Never. Absolutely
really?
Not. There is nothing as wonderful as shifting through those gears and hearing that sound.
That crunch of the gears. Here's the most important reason for getting a newer car with automatic transmission.
What?
You haven't got the freedom to use that right hand with the complicated radios that cars now have.
True.
You need that right hand free to do all those things that
talk
you have to
on
do
the phone.
Those 600 buttons. You can't be fooling around shifting.
Yeah. I don't have a radio.
Oh, okay.
See, if you get the stick shift, no radio. What a great thing. We should ban all automatic transmissions. people wouldn't be able to do all the stupid things they do now. You'd be too busy shifting.
They'd figure out how to dial with their knees.
Yeah, we'll put a computer in there soon.
See you, Robert. Good luck.
Do whatever you want.
I'm sure you'll buy the right car.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's interesting. See, I didn't even think about this until he asked us that question.
Think about what?
About this whole issue of manual versus automatic. We've changed our stance, and we didn't even know it. We had a stance on...
A position?
A position.
A policy.
That's it. And we don't have one anymore.
Well, I don't remember what
now
it was,
the policy is, do whatever you want.
Good. I like it.
if we could get policies like that for other issues like engines, brakes,
right.
Do whatever you want. You know, we say change the oil. We've changed our policy on that. Do whatever you want.
What do we care?
That'll be our new policy for everything.
We could turn it into a religion.
Horrible noise coming from the...
Do whatever you want.
I love it.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name's Nancy.
Nancy.
And I'm calling you from Meriden, Connecticut.
Nancy, we can tell you in advance.
Yes.
Do whatever you want.
Well, then I'm going to take it off.
Okay. Woo.
But no. Wait.
Okay.
I'm married to a wonderful man for almost 49 years. However, he has a terrible weakness.
Young girls? No, never mind.
No, I think he's given up on those too.
Too old for that.
He's a gadget lover. And my problem is we have a 1996 Acura, and he's decided that he's going to protect it by putting what I'm going to call a snood on it, because I don't like the word,
A bro. We'll call it a bro.
All right. I'll go with that one, because I looked a bro. Anyway, the first couple of times he took it off every time it rained, because the directions claim that it is apt to damage the paint.
Yeah.
However,
for those that don't know, we should explain what this thing is.
Most people don't know what this thing is.
Okay. And you don't see them very often.
You don't see them very often because they're so stupid.
Good. May I quote you?
You certainly may.
And what this thing is basically is a brassiere that covers the front of the nose of the car.
It covers the nose of the car. And you may have seen people mostly, I hate to be... BMWs are the ones that you see these on many times.
Yeah,
It's covering the front of the car like a bra.
I think it's very ugly myself.
It is the stupidest little device I have ever seen.
And does it really do the job?
Who cares?
I agree.
The job of this thing, ostensibly, is to protect the finish in the front, because it's the first line of defense, so to speak.
As you're driving along the highway and all those big semis are in front of you.
And all the little stones and pebbles and dust and bugs and whatever is on the road are smashing into the nose of your car. This is designed to protect it.
However, the directions claim that if you don't take it off when you wash the car, et cetera, then you're going to damage the paint. So you're kind of doomed if you do and doomed if you don't.
Yeah. I don't think there's that much up there to protect. I mean, what is it protecting? The headlights are there. The grill is there. And there's a little bit of paint, and then there's the very front of the hood.
Then I'm going to go out and make sure he takes it right off.
You know what to do? Cut it with the scissors.
You have to almost.
I mean, if it's ripped, he won't be able to use it. He surely won't go out and buy another one.
Oh,
it must cost $150, huh?
It was very expensive, but that's all right. I'm not going to worry about that.
Don't worry about it.
That's just another gadget I can put.
On the other hand,
it's
not doing any harm to anybody.
No.
Right, and if it's keeping him out of your hair, to have him out there putting it on, taking it off, picking it on, taking it off.
Yeah, maybe you should leave it on.
Well, thank you.
I don't think your husband bought it for the overt reason of protecting the front of the car.
What do you think?
I don't know. There's some deeper psychological meaning to it.
Yeah, I don't think we need to explore this on this show. But I think...
No, I don't think it's that. I think it has to do with BMWs.
That's what it is!
Oh, my word.
No, it has to do with BMWs.
Okay.
I think he wants to be a BMW owner.
If he tells me the next car we're going to get is a BMW...
You'll know that I was right.
No. Yeah. Well, you people are like a Bible for us.
Nancy, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, Thank you.
I was going to mention something about the Victoria's Secret catalog, but I won't. Nancy, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
See you later.
Okay, now before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, because I can see from the steam coming out of your brain that it's starting to overheat up there.
We'll be back in a minute.
Well, I like driving in my car. I go driving every day. Down city streets and country roads and interstate highways.
And even though anger management counselors stomp up and down on their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor Ridge Wallet. The Ridge is the wallet reimagined. Its innovative design uses premium materials like titanium and carbon fiber and expands to hold however many cards you need. With over 500,000 customers and 30,000 five-star reviews, the Ridge comes with a lifetime warranty if you love it and free returns if you don't. See how it works at ridge.com/NPR and get 10% off with code NPR.
Long term, is it better to invest in the stock market or in real estate properties?
Am I considered underemployed because I'm paid for less than 40 hours? Or is full-time more of a feeling?
I'm Cardiff Garcia, co-host of Planet Money's The Indicator, where we answer these great questions from you, our listeners, every day and in less than 10 minutes.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
I'm excited. Well, I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, shut up. No, I have two pairs of puzzlers that are related. So each pair is related.
Yeah.
But not to the other pair. In other words,
I got you. Yeah, yeah.
So I have two puzzlers that are similar, and then I have another two puzzlers coming up in the next few weeks that are also similar.
So you'd like to use these like sequentially, the similar ones.
Or non-sequentially.
Or non.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Or chronologically.
Or non-chronologically.
Yeah.
But the beauty of these puzzles is their brevity.
Yeah.
As opposed to last week's.
And their autonomy, yes. I suppose.
Yes, they are autonomous.
And their relatedness.
In
another sense.
And the first one is arithmetic, and I use this on the staff last week.
Oh, man.
You remember this one and the second one?
I do remember
all right,
this.
All right, go and get a bunch of matchsticks.
Yeah.
We'll wait. Time's up. Or a piece of paper and a pen, which you can represent matchsticks. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a fraction. The numerator of this fraction is going to be Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Okay, and the Roman numeral that's the numerator is 23, which is two X's.
X, X, I.
Right.
And so you can see these being made up of matches, two matches making up.
Okay, then you're going to take a bunch of matchsticks and make your line. And then the denominator is going to be 7 in Roman numerals, which is V, I, I. And then an equal sign, it's a little equation, equals 2, which is represented by two vertical
matchsticks,
I. Okay. Roman numeral 23, XXIII, over Roman numeral 7, which is VII, equals 2, which is II, Captain. Now, obviously, this equation is wrong.
Right.
Berman says it is.
It's close, though.
It's close enough. I mean, what the heck?
For Berman, it's close enough.
Your challenge is to move one matchstick and make the equation correct. Now, you cannot take one matchstick, for example, and make it 22 over 7 does not equal 3.
That was my pretty quick solution.
Yeah, that's bogus. That's completely bogus. So inequalities are not allowed.
Right. So the question is, how can you move one matchstick and make this into an actual equation?
There you go. Now, if you think of
equation.
Equation.
An equality.
Yes, so to speak.
And by the way, one of the issues that came up was, if I take one of the matchsticks away from the X, I will be left with a sort of diagonal facing line.
That's bogus.
And that
doesn't
means
well,
nothing.
That means
no,
squat.
You can't do that.
Right.
Is the answer. No,
exactly.
You can't do that.
You can't.
You can't do that.
If you know the answer, or think you know the answer, or just want to write to us otherwise, send your response to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge,
Our Fair City,
Massachusetts 02238, or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Norm from San Diego.
Norm.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
How are you? You know, Norm, I don't want to say anything bad about people named Norm, but just the other day, as I was running across one of the busy streets in Our Fair City, my bad knee gave out.
Your trick knee?
It's not trick, because I injured this knee many, many years ago because I went skiing.
Oh, this wasn't you when you were in the CIA and you were getting shot by the...
No, that's the story I told Bourbon. And what happened was I went... Am I changing the subject? This is important. This guy...
This is when you were in Tibet.
Whose name is Norm Robillard. I will never forget old Norm. Norm used to tell me a joke a day. And I worked with Norm, and one day he said, let's go skiing. I said, Norm, I've never skied in my life. So get this. He takes me skiing, first of all, on a rainy... freezing night. Mountain is covered.
Oh, you always ski at night. It's better not to be able to see. You just kind of do it by remote control.
First of all, it's night. I've never been on skis in my life. It's nighttime. It's raining and freezing. And I've never been there before. And he takes me to the top of the mountain.
Good. That's a good place to start if you're going to ski. You can't do anything from the bottom of the mountain.
But
trust me on this. I don't know much about it, but you've got to start at the top.
We could have started like halfway. My buddy, Norm Robillard, I know he's out there someplace. I want him to call me because I owe him something. My knee still hurts from that. Hey, Norm, where are you? So, Norm, San Diego, your name isn't Robillard, is it?
No, it is not.
Okay, so what'd you call us for?
I have a 1987 Nissan Stanza station wagon.
Yeah.
And last November, after Thanksgiving, I have this car in the East. I have a summer place in the East.
We know it's on Long Island.
New York someplace, right?
Right.
The Hamptons?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
See, we could tell. There are no secrets here, Norm.
No.
So continue. We're sorry.
Anyway, I decided to put the car up for the winter. I put it in an enclosed garage, and I disconnected the battery, took the terminals off the...
Good.
And then just left the car there.
Sure.
And now, next month, I'm going out there again. I want to start the car up, but I've had people tell me that I should have put more oil in, or I should have drained the oil, and I should do this, and I should do that. And I want to know that... Is there anything that I have to do besides just put the terminals on, charge up the battery, and...
Do not listen to these people. They are children of Satan. They are attempting to cause you great physical and emotional harm.
Okay.
And your instinct is exactly right. Put the terminals on it and sit there all day cranking it because it'll never start. I'm sorry. That was cruel and not necessary. No, it'll probably start. The only thing that I might have suggested you to do is that you threw some stable into the gas tank to prevent the...
What?
Stable is a trade name for a gasoline stabilizer. Gasoline will break down and create gums and varnishes that can clog up things like fuel injectors and orifices in your carburetor and whatever. And it's a good idea, if you're going to let the car sit for an extended period, that you add some of this. And it only takes a few drops, literally.
Out here in the frozen north, we also use it for things like snow blowers, which you don't usually use in the summer.
No.
And lawnmowers, which you don't usually use in the winter. And if you just leave gasoline in them, that's what happens to it.
Right. They used to tell you to start your lawnmower and let it run until the tank ran dry.
Yeah.
Well, that seemed kind of silly. Especially if it was like November.
Right. But so that's about the only thing you really need to do. You certainly don't want to add more oil. The oil is going to sit there and it does nothing. It's fine.
Yeah, the oil's fine.
Okay. In other words, I should have added that stabilizer when I...
Yeah, it's too late now, so just hope for the best.
Uh-huh.
Crank away and hope that it starts.
How much gas is in the tank? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I don't remember. Probably a half a tank.
All right. If you manage to get it started...
Yeah.
Fill it up.
Fill it up as soon as possible so the good stuff will mix in with all the junk.
And then
that's
you'll
in
have
there.
Only a half a tank of bad gas.
And then next year when you lay it up for the winter, put a can of stable into it, and that's it.
Okay. Okay, thanks a million, fellas.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, if you run into a guy named Robillard, ask him to give me a buzz here.
Right, thank
thanks
you.
A lot, Norm.
Bye-bye, Norm. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron from Ann Arbor.
Aaron?
Aaron.
Yes.
Aaron, E-R-I-N.
Correct.
How are you?
I am doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah? As are we.
That is good.
What can we do for you?
Are you a student or a college professor?
Well, I'm no longer a student, but I'm not quite the professor yet.
Okay.
The problem is...
Wait, does that mean you have a J-O-B?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
Finally.
Yeah. All right.
I have a housemate, and the house that we live in has a single driveway. I own a car. She owns two cars. She recently bought a new car because she didn't feel her first car that she bought, which is an 87 Sundance, and has 140,000 miles on it. She didn't think it was reliable enough to drive into Detroit three times a week.
Yeah.
However, the problem is, I think it hinges on the fact that it's her first car. She won't get rid of the thing,
yeah.
And it becomes kind of a nightmare if I'm the first one in the driveway and she decides to take this first car of hers around the block, because then in the morning, you know, it's like a circus. You got to take the first car out and put it in the street, take the second car out,
yep.
Then get my car out, you
yep.
know, and
yep.
then drive them all back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's given me a couple of excuses on why she doesn't want to sell the thing. You know, her first one was she wasn't sure what it was worth. You know, she thinks that, you know, it's
she is sure what it's worth. That's why she doesn't want to sell it.
I would think that this is probably a common problem. You know, people with their first car just don't know how to, you know, let it go.
I don't have the complete list in front of me, but I'm sure the Sundance would certainly be within the top 20 of the passenger cars least likely to be stolen.
Yeah, so you can't count on that.
Yeah,
but where is your housemate in the morning when you're schlepping all these cars in and out of the driveway? What's
yeah,
she doing?
Sleeping or I don't know, getting ready for her, to go to her job. You know,
and she doesn't feel incumbent upon her. She doesn't
well, no,
feel
sometimes
any...
she'll help me move the cars, but you know, someone is still driving two of the cars. And, I mean, it's just like
well,
a major
that person
production.
Should clearly be her. If she owns two of the cars, she should drive them. I mean, how confrontational do you want to be, or do you want us to be?
Yeah, I mean,
well,
are you pleased with the house?
To help me out, because, you know, I think I've been confrontational enough about this issue. And
oh, is there a little friction now between you?
Oh, there you know, I'm not sure. There might be.
There might be.
I'm not aware of it, but
yeah,
it could be.
Could be.
Yeah.
This is a big problem, and this is the kind of thing from which battles come.
That's
wars.
Right.
Entire nations. I mean, think about it. If you were from one faction and she were from another, this could precipitate World War III sooner or later.
It could. And things do
escalate.
This is
probably what happened in Bosnia.
From humble beginnings.
Yeah.
From a simple problem that should have a simple resolution with intelligent people working
yeah.
at them. And yet it doesn't seem to be a solution at hand because one or both parties are being intractable.
Or not thankful enough for the fact... I mean, Fred Glass always told us, when we complained about various things like paying taxes to the Internal Revenue Service, he said, you should be thankful that you have the health to work and make the money so that you have to pay taxes.
So guys like me can collect and haven't worked or paid taxes in 25 years.
Exactly. So, I mean, what Fred Glass would say is you should be happy that you have the two legs that you can get up and jump up out of bed and run out into that driveway and move those cars instead of complaining about it. Every day you should say, thank God that I can move these two cars. That would be Fred Glass's answer. Now, Fred Glass is a fruitcake. So you may not ascribe to this.
You don't think that this car should just be, you know, sold or gotten rid of somehow? I mean, maybe I could sneak out in the middle of the night. Well, you've already said, and if she listens, that this car won't get stolen, but...
Yeah, it won't get stolen. And,
well, I mean, for one thing, does she move this car around, like, every day?
No. It's probably, you know, once a week she feels like she should drive it just to make sure that, you know, it's still working.
Yeah. Hmm.
But you never know, you know. I never know until, you know, the next morning, you know.
Well, you know, there are many home accidents every year. And certain unfortunate occurrences take place
yeah.
that damage people's personal property.
Of a conflagratory nature?
of a conflagrationary nature, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be having a barbecue with the grill too close to the carb. These things happen, and the flames could, you know, I mean, not to suggest that it, you know, might, but...
No, no, not to suggest, certainly not to suggest, but those things do happen. An 87 Sundance. Isn't it interesting that you can fall in love with something as ugly as that?
Well, the car may have some special significance to your roommate, and you have to be understanding of that. Let's assume, for the sake of simplicity, that she is going to keep the car.
Okay.
In which case, I think it would only be reasonable to assume that she should do two-thirds of the car jockeying.
Okay.
And if she doesn't, then she should find some way to compensate you.
But we know that that's true, but how in the world do you get her to do it?
You don't get her to do it. What you get her to do is to agree to do something else, like take out the garbage all the time. Assuming that...
You should know better than this. You've had two teenagers in your house. They never took out the garbage, and when they didn't take out the garbage, did you get them to do something else to make up for it? Of course not.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I know. The keys must
be... You have to poison her. I mean, let's examine another avenue. You really need a roommate.
She pays most of the rent.
She pays most of the rent.
Oh, why?
Well, because she's got two cars in the driveway.
She has a... Oh, you basically... She has a better job?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that's not very egalitarian.
To each according to his needs. From
no,
each.
No, I think if you share the house, and you should each pay the same. So stop complaining and move the damn cars and get a life.
Yeah, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, Aaron. I think you should simply adopt the Fred Glass philosophy of life. And every day when it's your turn to move all those stupid little cars of hers, just raise your head up to heaven and say, thank you, Fred Glass, for straightening me out.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
There you go.
Tomorrow morning.
If you want, we can send you a little plastic doll of Fred.
We can send you Fred himself. We've been dying to get rid of Fred.
Can he hang from my mirror?
He'll hang from anything.
Thanks for calling, Aaron.
Thank you.
See you later. Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor out on the North American Spring Free Lunch Grand Am Tour. And that's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
Is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DeClume. From the New Delhi office, our blues coordinator is Mohammed Antolmi. Tom's personal hygiene coach is Haseen Binizi. The manager of the Car Talk listener rebate program is Wendy Pigs Fly. Our staff tax preparer is Lionel Little. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the dropouts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1919, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our migraine-inducing clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got a car that's long in the grill? The Car Talk vehicle donation program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to your favorite NPR station. It's the good deed you've been looking for to help justify that new Lexus. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though sumo wrestlers run full speed into their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.